We live, we die, what's the purpose of life? Brother Eddie gonna show you on the Deen Show.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, peace be with you. This is the unique greeting, the greeting of the angels, the greetings of the messengers, and we're greeting you with that greeting here today. Peace be unto you. And today we have a special guest, Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green, who's come back here on the Deen Show. He's with us again. He shared his story. He went from Christianity to Buddhism to Islam, acquiring peace by submitting his will to the owner of peace, not to a man, to a woman, but the creator of man and woman, the one God. And he's here with us again to talk some more. So you don't want to go nowhere. We'll be right back.
Allah, there's only one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah. Allah, there's only one God, and Jesus was his messenger. Allah, la ilaha illallah.
I don't know why I did that. Maybe it's just to break the ice. I'm here with the cool Sheikh. Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green on the Deen Show. This is the Green Show today. Can I? Assalamu alaikum.
How are you?
I like being cool. I don't know if I am cool, but I like being cool.
Islam is cool, and it's cool to be a Muslim. It's cool to acquire peace by submitting to the one God, doing all the good that He's told us to do. And people can go back to thedeenshow.com. There's your special section there. People can see the story on how you came to Islam. Now, you've grown, all praises to God Almighty, Allah, that you're out there educating the not yet Muslims and the Muslims about Islam.
That's right, yeah. Alhamdulillah.
This is amazing.
Alhamdulillah. Well, it's the least you can do. You know, I think if you really love something, you can't help but share that thing with people. It's just inevitable. It's a psychological condition. If you really love something, and you, that thing benefits you, you want everyone else to benefit from it as well. So how can you stop yourself sharing the beautiful message of Islam once you've tasted it and experienced it, and you know how sweet it is, and how completely it fulfills the life of an individual? You feel compelled to want to share that beautiful experience with everyone else.
Sharing is caring. We care about the people. That's why we want to share Islam.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, the thing is that you said it. You said, if I had ever read a book.
If I had ever read a book that was from God, this was it.
That was from God Almighty, it was this Quran. You shuffled around, you went around, and you experienced all these different religions, and then you finally came to the truth, because Islam provided the proof that it wasn't man-made, but it was divinely sent from the one God.
That's right.
And you didn't want to worship a man-god. You also just kind of bringing people up to speed. These are some of the things we talked about. I remember like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
You said a penny dropped. It was like a penny dropped when the man said what?
Well, when he said to me, do you believe that Jesus is God? And I said, yes. And he said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross? I said, yes. So he said, well, then God died. And that was it. It's just like I realized that I didn't believe that. I didn't believe that God could die, but no one had really spelt it out for me. No one had really said, look, this is the logical, rational end result of your belief system. I knew something was wrong with it the whole time, because I always was questioning and felt uncomfortable with it. But it took someone to really spell out, look, this plus this equals this. And when he did, it was an epiphany, you know, like you say, the penny dropped.
And you came to the realization that I don't want to worship the creation. Mm. I want to worship the Creator. Elaborate on when we say the Creator. Mm. Some people just mix it all up. They say God's in you, God's in me, we're all gods. Mm. God could be a man. And it gets confusing. Define when we say the Creator and the creation, and just worship the Creator. What do we mean?
Well, I think it's really beautifully summed up in a very short but extremely powerful chapter of the Quran.
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ,
which is actually called Surah Al-Ikhlas, which means the purity. It's the purity of faith. And it says,
قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد, which means that say he is Allah Ahad. Now the word Ahad means one and alone. It's not just one, you know, you could be one or I could be one, but one and alone without any partner. So the concept of Trinity is excluded in Ahad. So Allah is Ahad, He is one and alone. And He is a Samad. A Samad means that God is the one upon whom everything depends. Everything needs God, whereas God doesn't need anything. So this idea that some people have that maybe by worshipping God you're making God stronger, it's like sort of maybe there's a competition between the gods and like whichever God gets more worshippers. No. Allah doesn't need anyone to worship.
He don't need our worship.
He doesn't need anything. He doesn't, because he depends upon nothing. Whether we worship him or not, it doesn't make any difference to the fact that Allah is the sovereign, God is the sovereign of the heavens and earth. So he needs nothing. He's totally self-sufficient. Whereas, in fact, everything in the creation is entirely and completely dependent upon God. Lam yalid means he is not born. No one gave birth to Allah. So He didn't have a beginning. Allah is the ever-living, He has no beginning, وَلَمْ يُلَدْ. And also, He is not the beget. It means God does not, you know, have children, He doesn't have daughters, He doesn't have sons. So this whole concept of sons of God and daughters of God, this is reducing the Creator to being like some created thing. And وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And that really seals it, that there's nothing that can be likened unto God. Allah, the Creator God, is not like anything in the creation. And this is really the essence of the monotheistic belief in Islam about God. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing that can be likened unto God. And I think really you find that a lot of religions, although they say we believe in God, but their concept of God, they've reduced Allah, they've reduced God to being almost like some created thing. In their minds, they don't really comprehend, they haven't really absorbed how great God is. And you find that in our call to prayer, when we start our ritual prayers, what is the thing that the words that we say again and again? Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar actually means Allah is greater. And you'd say, well, greater than what? What do you mean Allah is greater? Well, Allah is greater than anything you can imagine. Now you think about our universe. If you think about our galaxy, which is 10,000 light years across, that means if you travel for 10,000 years at the speed of light, you would... That's how long it would take to cross our universe.
Wow.
And that, and our galaxy is one of millions in the universe. The universe is what? Billions of light years across. And this universe, the Prophet said, is like a ring in a desert compared to the kursi, which means the pedestal of the chair. And the kursi is like a ring in the desert. Can you just imagine a ring thrown in the desert? It's like compared to the throne of God. So how great is God? So this, you know, when you really try and imagine how insignificant this creation is compared to the greatest creation of Allah, the throne, then how great is Allah? And so this idea that people have, how they've reduced Allah to being some man that breathes and eats and goes to the toilet, and they think that God is like some created thing with the weaknesses of a created thing, then they have not really understood how majestic and holy and great the Creator is.
Before we go to break, did any of the prophets ever teach or preach that God was a man?
Of course not.
Never.
How could they? Every messenger came and taught what I am talking about now. That God, that nothing is like Allah. You can see it in the Bible, you can see it, you know, even the remains of the Bible. You know, that there is nothing that can be compared to God. Those statements are there in the text. So this is the teachings of all of the messengers.
Real quick, 30 seconds. You mentioned even some verses. I mean, was it Hosea that it says God is not a man?
That's what it says, yes. For I am God, not man. So there you go. How can a man be God?
You know, the Bible itself confirms those teachings.
The first commandment.
Thou shalt love the Lord your God. And thou shalt not, the second commandment, thou shalt not make any graven images of anything in the heavens or the earth or in the sea. And you shall not bow down and you shall not worship them. I mean, that's the essence. You can't make an image of God because God has no image like anything.
And this is what we're talking about. I know it's making sense. And it's making even more sense if you're sincere and you have an open heart and open mind. We'll be right back with more on The Dean Show.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
If a lion's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If a lion's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If a lion's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show with Sheikh Abdul Rahim Green on The Green Show today. This is The Green Show, ladies and gentlemen, on The Dean Show. I'm so excited that you're back with us.
Alhamdulillah, it's great to be back, Eddie, as usual.
Thank you. Thank you for finding the time. And inshallah, we'll get to be together some more over the years if God Almighty gives us life. And then, hopefully, we do enough good deeds. We worship the one God. And we do the good that He's told us to do. And then He'll have mercy on us. He'll have grace on us and give us paradise.
That's the objective.
That's the goal.
That's where we want to get.
Exactly. So tell us now, there's the this was just an introduction. Now the question is, because many people, this is in their nature. This is something that is logical, rational. Just worship the one God and do the good that He wants you to do. Now someone writes in a question, says, you know what? Yeah, that makes sense. But how could God, who's so merciful and loving, how can He send a good person to the hellfire? And I think that somebody even asked you this question or many times before.
Yeah.
And how do you answer this? So we can clear out some of the confusion and then we can clear the path for them to totally submit to the one God. Talk to us.
Well, I think, you know, first of all, we have to have a working definition of good. And this is a really big and very profound topic. Because if you merely define good as whatever is acceptable in your society, then you could argue that, well, in Nazi Germany, the good people in Nazi Germany were the ones who killed the most Jews. Is that a working definition of good? I think most people today would agree that there are some things that are absolutely evil. And they, you know, they always will be and they always have been evil. And, you know, genocide, wiping out populations of human beings is something we pretty much agree upon is evil. But, you know, imagine conceptually that the whole world was taken over by Nazis and we'd all been converted by Nazi propaganda to believe that we should all kill Jews, and we all think that the guy who kills the most Jews is a good guy.
This is evil, obviously.
Well, but this is the point, you see. When a person says, how can good people go to hell? My first question is, who defines what's good? Do you define what's good? Does society define what's good? From our position, we would say that the only one who has the right to define what is good is God. In fact, the very essence of what makes something good or evil is the fact that this notion of good and evil itself is anchored in a transcendental concept, something meaning it's something beyond ourselves, right? And so that is very, very important, the concept of good and evil. So the first thing I talk about is, well, who defines God, right? It can't just be, who defines good? Good can't just be defined by society or by you or me. So when a person said, you know, why do good people go to hell? I'd say, well, who said that's a good person? Who decides what's good? Who decide what makes a person good? The other way to think about it is that
truly good people don't go to hell. And truly good people, as far as God has defined it, as far as the Creator has defined it, good has a foundation. And that foundation starts with that person's relationship and recognition and obedience and submission to God. Sometimes people find this a hard concept to get their heads around. So what I try to do is explain this concept in, you know, in a way that's a little bit familiar to us. And of course, in no way do I want to compare God to any created thing.
Yes.
I'm just trying to give the concept some, you know, some framework through which we can understand it. So
yeah.
I want you to imagine, right, Eddie, you're a sort of journalist, yeah. Right? And you know, you have the Dean show. You decide one day, you hear about this guy who, he's a really good guy. He gives lots of charity, he's kind to kids, you know, he's good looking, like me, you know, and like you, you know, and all the, I don't know, whatever, right? Whatever you think, you know, this guy is a great guy.
Yeah.
But this guy keeps on saying bad things about his parents. Don't talk about my parents. My parent, you know, he just says bad things. So you being a journalist, you say, I want to find out, who are these parents? They must be awful people,
yeah.
Right? So you track them down and you interview them. And you find out that they're the sweetest, nicest, kindest people. They gave everything to their son.
Everything
to make their, to educate him. They lived in poverty so that he could, you know, whatever. Whatever you think, but they gave everything. They never did anything bad to him, right? Now what do you think of this guy?
He's a creep now.
Yeah. And you know what? The fact is that all the good that he did just looks like nothing.
It's starting to go out the window.
Yeah, because you'd say, I can't ever think of a person who would treat his parents like that as being good. It doesn't matter what he does for the whole of humanity. But if he can't treat his parents properly, how can we look at him as good? As, because there are some things that are so bad, it outweighs all the good that you do. And that's how we should look at a person who denies God, who abuses God, who considers something in the creation to be equal with God. This is so insulting and so abusive and so denying the reality of God. And in reality, God has more right to be loved, more right to be worshipped, more right to be respected than even your own parents. I mean, God gave you your parents, right? So this really emphasizes the point that you can do something that is so bad that it outweighs all the good you can do. And that is what shirk, or making partners, or making equals, denying God, denying God's prophets, denying his religion, turning away from God. In the eyes of God, it is so bad that whatever you do outweighs the evil of making partners with God, of denying God, outweighs whatever good you can do, right? And so this is the context in which we have to understand this issue. When people say, oh, how can a good person go to hell? Well, we'd say, number one, a truly good person would never go to hell. But yes, a person may seem to do nice things and good things and help other human beings and maybe be so charitable and this and that. But at the end of the day, if they have not recognized God and obeyed God and committed themselves to treating their relationship with God in the right way, then the evil of that outweighs all the good that they have done.
And by doing God's will, by doing what the Creator wants you to do, he tells you to be the most merciful to your parents.
You see,
he tells you to be good to everyone.
Absolutely. You see, here's the point, that in Islam, you give your rights to God. You see, we all talk about rights, human rights, animals' rights, you know, probably even the trees' rights, right? Okay, and that's good. It's good that everything has rights and we should treat every. But how about the right of God? How about the duty and the right and the obligation that we owe to our Creator? You know, this is the most terrible right to transgress. But as you said, when you follow Islam, when you follow the teachings of the Quran, when you follow the teachings of the Prophet, Islam tells you to respect your parents. It's one of the biggest sins in Islam to disrespect your parents, to be good to your neighbor, to look after the poor and the orphans and the needy. So in Islam, part of believing in God is being good to the creation. You can't say that the other way around. You can't say about those people, humanists or whatever, right? That they would say, yeah, we should be good to the creation, whatever good to the creation is, because that's open for discussion as well, right? You know, they what they think is good may not even be good anyway, right? I mean, maybe these people now start saying euthanasia is good, right? You reach 70 years old, you're an old person, put you down, right? Let's kill old people because, you know, that it's not worth them living. Who knows, maybe in years to come, this is what people will be saying, right? And they will say, oh, that's the good thing to do. Well, we don't hold that. We don't agree that that's good, right? So it all comes back to these things. Who defines good, right? And the whole issue of one's relationship with Allah, with the Creator, is really at the heart of this as well.
That's priority number one, and we'll be right back with more on The Dean Show.
He is the maintainer.
You say that you do not believe in Jesus, you have stepped outside of Islam. You cannot be a Muslim. It is attended our faith to believe in and love Jesus Christ.
Why is it then when it comes to one of the most important decisions in life, we literally abuse ourselves? It's not that the main thing we're looking for is to see what type of money he has so that he can treat my daughter like a princess. It's not about that.
He is the one who protects us from hunger.
Back here on The Dean Show, and we're trying to clear the confusion because some people will say, you know what, I feel like, you know what, I don't break the law, I don't hurt nobody, I give sometimes to the poor, I show up to work on time, I didn't murder nobody, why would God punish me? And I believe in God. Once in a while I'll say, hey, thanks God. So that person feels like, hey, God owes me paradise now, or I'm okay, I'm set, it's all good. I mean, what do we say about this?
Well, what we have to say is that you can't decide for yourself what it is that God wants from us. You know, you're making up your own religion, really, then. What you're saying is that I'll define the terms. I'll define. But it's not up to you. You don't decide whether you're going to paradise or not. God decides whether you're going to go to paradise. And God has set down a set of criterion. This is the behavior of the people who will go to paradise, and this is the behavior of the people who go to hellfire.
A blueprint. It's there. Everything is
there. It's there. And God has. That's why God has sent us prophets. That's why God has sent us messengers. And as we believe as Muslims, those prophets and messengers have come with a consistent message. The basic message of those prophets is the same. And at the heart of it is, first of all, you have to single out Allah for worship, and you have to worship Allah, not the way you want, but the way that God wants. I'll give you a quick example, very quickly if you've got time, right? Let's go back to the example of the parents. You want to give your parents a really nice present, you know, after years they've done so much for you, so, you know, 80 years old, your parents are 80 years old, you take them down to a heavy metal rock concert, because that's what you like. I mean, that's ridiculous. You know, you're not thanking your parents the way they want to be thanked. You're just doing something that you happen to enjoy. That's not thanking them, right? The same, you know, the same concept. I'm not saying God is. I'm not comparing God to the parents, but the concept is the same. Is that no? You have to thank God the way He wants to be thanked, not the way that you just happen to choose.
Yeah. Explain this real quick. We said that God Almighty doesn't need our worship. If we all collaborated and did it together, it wouldn't diminish or add.
Not at all.
He is self-sufficient. He is the true King of Kings, the Lord of all creation. But then someone might ask, then why do I need to single Him out, or why do I need to pray? What do we say?
Well, I mean, that's the way God created you. That's the way that Allah created you to do that. If you do it and you fulfill your created purpose, you'll go to paradise. If you don't, you'll go to hell. I mean, it's really very simple. Right?
If you show up to work, I don't understand. Do you understand why people will understand this if it comes to their daily chores and activities? The CEO, he's got some rules laid out at the company. And people will stick to those rules and they'll understand that, look, if I miss work so many days out of the year, if I don't show up to work, I'm going to get fired.
You said it. You know, the point is, if you look in your ordinary everyday life, right, it's very simple. It makes a lot of sense. You're absolutely right. If you don't turn up to work, sooner or later you'll get fired. If you know, you can't go to a company and the boss tells you do ABC and you do EFG, right? The boss said, I told you ABC, you did EFG, right? You'll get fired, right? It's the same thing. Why is it any different from God? God tells you do this and do this and do this, you'll get paradise, and you want to do something else. If you want paradise, do what God wants you to do. Know what you want to do. It's very simple.
Couple more points. Just tell us right now. You are a known figure, and people look to you, and you have some confused youth out there, and you also have some people who now are doing things that aren't in accordance with Islam. So for the not yet Muslims, everything's making sense. But now he's heard 9/11, and they are saying we're revisiting it, and people are getting all, you know, pumped up. And then you have, you know, the Christmas bomber and all these things. What do we got to say about this? Does Islam have anything to do with this?
You know, we've said it so many times. The Quran says, don't kill women, don't kill children, don't kill the old people, don't attack the civilians. This is what the Prophet Muhammad told us.
That this is not part of Islam. These are people's emotions, these are politics, these are people who are gone to extremes. There are all sorts of people who use religion to justify what they want to do, right? And that's not an exception. They don't say, let me look and see what God wants me to do. No. They say, I have an idea, I want to do this, let me find something that I can use to justify it from the religion. That's not the way to approach the religion. The way to approach the religion is holistically. Let me understand what the religion teaches and then implement it. Not, I've got some ideas how I want to take revenge. I've got some ideas how I want to do that. Let me find a verse in the Quran that supports my, that's not the right way. That's not, you know, that's how you will just invent your own religion and just find verses to, and that's what you find. These people are not following the teachings of Islam. They see one verse of the Quran, but they forget other verses. They see one thing the Prophet said, but they forget the things where the Prophet said, don't kill women, don't kill children. You know, they just clearly, it's very clear. They just, but you know, in their own minds, they just dismiss that, or they rationalize it or justify it, because you know, I'm sorry to say, there is a sickness. You know, they have a sickness in their heart, you know. And whatever that sickness has been caused by, that's a whole different discussion.
Yes.
But it is not the teachings of Islam. This is not what the scholars have taught. This is not what the Prophet and his companions taught.
So another thing you had mentioned before in the show, if a Muslim drinks, Quran said don't drink.
Yep.
So if the Quran says don't fornicate, Muslim fornicating, Islam says don't kill women and children, don't do these horrific acts.
Yep.
And now,
you can't blame Islam. If you study Islam, you'll see that Islam is free and clear of those things.
Now, closing comments and suggestions for those people who are sincere. They're getting fed up. Drama from womb to the tomb. Depression, anxiety, Xanax. But they like what we have to say. They like the call to acquire peace by submitting to the owner of peace, the one God. What do they have to do, and what advice do you give them?
The best thing that you can ever do in your life is bring the guidance of Allah into your life. The best thing you can do is follow the Quran. The best thing to do is reconnect to Allah directly. And you do that by taking Islam as your way of living, taking Islam as your way of life. And it's very simple. All you have to do is say, I bear witness that there is only one God worthy of worship, and I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Once you do that, you start to connect with your Creator by praying and by fasting and giving charity and doing the things that the Quran and the Prophet told us to do. It's very simple, it's very beautiful, and I believe it is the only way to true peace and happiness in your life.
By accepting the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, you accept, if someone had attachment to Jesus, you accept him as a messenger, Moses, Abraham, all the preceding messengers?
Of course. I mean, in Islam, we believe in all of those messengers. But their message has finished.
It's done.
It's done. You know, like I gave the example, if it's like, you know, you have a school,
yeah,
and the school has a new headmaster, and the new headmaster or the new CEO of the company writes new rules and said, these are the new rules and these are the new procedures and this is the new way of doing that. Someone can't come along and say, yeah, no, I'm going to stick with the old guy. You know, I preferred what he said. No, you have the new CEO, you have the new headmaster, you follow the new rules. And that's Islam. Islam is the new rules. It's the rules for us today, and it is in fact the last book of rules until the Day of Judgment. It's the final testament.
Simple as that. And you do that, and you get paradise by doing the good, worshiping God the way He wants you to worship Him, doing all the good deeds, you get His grace, mercy, and paradise?
You will definitely, definitely end up in paradise if you follow that.
Where can people contact you, your organization? Just 10 seconds, tell them about it.
www.iera.org.uk. Iera.org.uk. Find out about us and what we're doing.
May God Almighty reward you, and I hope that we get to Jannah, paradise together. Thank you once again.
I also.
Yes.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Not much to add after that. It's simple. You got to want it. And if you want something, you go out for it. Go out, get the guidance, just raise your hands and earnestly seek the guidance of the one God. Distinguish God from his creation. Everything that came into existence, that walked the earth, had a zip code, an area code, a DNA, that can't be God. God is the creator of man and woman, but he's not a man or woman. He created everything, the sun and the universe, everything. And this goes with your nature. So go ahead and ask that one God to guide you, and then be ready to submit to all the good that he's told you to do. We'll see you next time, inshallah, God willing. Peace be unto you.
He created the universe. To him belong the heavens and the earth. The ever-living, he is the first. He's the owner of mercy. He sent his messengers to warn his creatures of the grave dangers of worshiping other than Allah. There is none greater than the